The episode of your favorite podcast, Cigar Store Idiots, attempt to make a video podcast edition. I got back with me today, Danny Burnham. Danny, how's life treating you since the rapture didn't happen?
It is the end of the world as we know it, Rob.
I've seen so many things about, you know, we had the whole eclipse that was going to break out. And I remember when I think I was in the fifth grade and we were going to have a total eclipse, which is a gazillion years ago. And when that thing was coming around and we were doing that, like we were all excited and it was like a fun thing.
Yeah,
it was like, it was going to be fun. It was a good time. You know, we even got some, I don't know where these glasses came from when I was a kid, but I'm pretty sure Ray Charles had a pair.
I'm sure. Yeah.
But,
or needed a pair.
But, we used those and we, you know, we experienced it and this, that, and the other, and it was what it was, and it was an event.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
But now, this year, we were talking about the rapture was coming.
So, what year would you have been in fifth grade?
Oh, man.
Because we might tie that back into this episode.
I would say...
I bet it's online, one of the guys we're going to talk about today.
Maybe 85, 86?
Yeah, we're right
84, now. 85, 86.
Right in the wheelhouse.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we'll get there.
So
so it was tied then too, is what I'm getting at.
So we're looking at this event happening, this scientific event, astrological event.
Yeah.
And everybody's
astronomical.
People are excited. People are scared. They were making t-shirts and selling them.
Yeah.
And I even seen video of people, news reporters, when the things like total eclipse and people are crying. This man's crying, like physically shaking. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen and witnessed.
I mean, it's cool.
I mean, maybe it was for him. Cool. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe he's never been to Magic City and had the lemon pepper wings. I don't know.
I guess not.
So that'll
out.
Cause you to lose your eyes too.
Burn them right out of your skull.
but anyways, the thing happened. And immediately, you know me, I start messaging you, and I have all my rapture memes that's loaded. Like, I'm loaded like I'm ready to go to war.
Yeah, at all like, times. You got to be.
So
if
I'm
you stay ready, you don't have to get ready.
I'm sending these things out, you know, and of course, if you follow us on Instagram, it was an event.
Oh, yeah.
I made it an event, you know, for myself personally.
Yeah, and as you should have, Rob, as you should have. I don't think enough people made the right type of event out of it.
They didn't. They had t-shirts made.
Yeah.
T-shirts were made. People cried.
I don't know. I hadn't heard any reports this time of people selling all their possessions and things like that. I hope that didn't happen. But historically, that's what happens around events like this.
Yeah. And I know I saw something too. I believe that, how do you know if you've had damaged your eyes during an eclipse was Googled like a gazillion times after the eclipse was over. So
optometrists today are like,
oh yeah,
banking.
Yeah. They're like guys on the gas station when the gas prices go back up. So I know what I also saw, this was so bad. There was a guy who, I guess are border patrol agents, and they had, did you see that one? I send that one to you?
I don't know if, probably.
So
somebody did.
The one we're talking about is the border patrol agents have on their, they have on their glasses, their, what is it? Their eclipse glasses. And they're looking up, you know, pointing up, looking into the sun, you know. And then beside them are two guys who I could only figure maybe had come across the border.
They got Buddy in cuffs. One of them is in handcuffs with his glasses on.
And they're both just looking up. They're looking up straight into the sun with a smile on their face.
Let's take this moment, you know, for what it is.
If they do get in, they're going to have disability right out of the gate. Right out of the gate.
Burn their corneas out.
And it kind of spurned this whole podcast topic on, and I had reached out to you, and unfortunately, there's lots of pastors, men of the cloth, quote unquote,
as it were,
will use this to make money off of it.
Sadly. Right.
Doomsday. What do we call it? What is it called? Doomsday.
Doomsday prophets.
Prophets. Yeah. Doomsday prophets. So, one of the biggest ones, Harold Camping.
Harold.
This guy is a Christian radio broadcaster and an evangelist. And I think you and I had even talked about, he was based out of California.
Right.
His broadcast was in over 150 markets. And how many countries was that?
Well, it's in 30 languages.
So,
I mean, how many countries speak the same language? And then he's beyond that.
Unfortunately... I can't even get 30 people to listen to this podcast.
Right, yeah, that's where we're begging, just for 30.
And this guy's got 30 different languages. Unbelievable. He's notorious for using these failed predictions, the end of times.
Yeah.
And had millions of dollars donated to him globally. Millions.
Millions.
If we're all going to die, here's my question. If we're all going to die, the world is over. Why do we need to give this guy money?
So here's how Harold came into his money, right? He has to advertise this thing.
Yeah.
And so he says, well, we got to tell people the world is going to end. We got to let them know. So send me your money. Harold spent $100 million advertising the end of the world on May 21st, 2011. That's when it's going to end. So send me your money. We'll buy billboards. Harold died in 2013 with a net worth of $75 million.
$75 million.
Yeah. My net worth is not $75 million.
I probably have 75 cents in my bank account.
Yeah,
at this
I'm
point,
hoping for $75 period.
Until I get freed from from my previous job that I'm in right now. So
almost there.
I can't wait. I think Martin Luther King said it best when he said, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'll be free at last. I think it was around about September 1994, you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So that didn't end. So he went and he said, oh, I was wrong. Let me go ahead and bump that date to September the 29th.
Yeah.
Oh, crap, we're still here.
Yeah.
Let's go to October the 2nd, 2005. It was the second coming of Christ. It was supposed to happen on May the 21st of 2011,
mm-hmm.
Where the saved will be taken up in the rapture, which I was looking for. I was messaging all my closest religious friends and said, hey, y'all still here?
We about to get out of here, y'all.
Are y'all here? Some people was like, you missed out, dude. The Wi-Fi's great up here.
Oh, man.
So for 5 months, fire and brimstone, plagues on the earth, and millions of people are going to die each day, culminating on the day, October 21st of 2011, with the final destruction, would be the final destruction of the world. It was widely reported, a large-scale campaign that you had talked about on family radio. He was ridiculed by the atheist organizations. Maybe something we could actually agree with the atheists with. And lots of rebuttals from the Christian organization.
Of course. Like,
I got a G6. The world can't end. I'm on top.
I never get to fly this. I think, though,
I'm not eating this soup.
And right on your gruel, your potato soup.
Potato gruel.
I feel like this guy was convinced, right? We see these prosperity preachers, and they've got their G6, and they got all this, you know, send me your money, and I'll talk to God for you. I think this guy was for real. Like, I think he thought this is how it was going to go down. So he wasn't even concerned about a G6. But it's nice to die with $75 million worth of, you know, net worth and have all the whatever you want. I think it's a perk, and it worked out for him, but I don't know that that was even the intention.
Yeah. I think I kind of agree with you. I think he did seriously think the world was going to end. I really did.
Well, and that's what separates him too from some of these other guys. Like, he predicted the rapture and the end of the world, like, they coincided. Mm-hmm. Some of these guys go, well, the rapture is going to be this date, and then people get into this other, you know, thing that happens after the rapture. Well, spoiler alert, there ain't no after the rapture. That's the last day. Nothing happens after
that. It's called the rapture because that's a wrap.
As a wrap.
That's a wrap. We done.
Yeah. But he put those two together, and it was the end of the world, which, you know, that is what it is. But Harold.
I mean, he eventually retired from his radio, his syndication family radio, October 16th of 2011, days before his final prediction that the world would end. His daughter later clarified that he retired outright, but was maintaining the role at Family Radio while working remotely. The checks were still coming in. Why would he not stay a part of it?
Well, he actually retired, like, from ownership, management, whatever, handed it over, and then he was working as a volunteer, apparently. Now, volunteer, right?
Don't get paid.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, of course, he's selling books and all kind of stuff, too.
Yeah.
But, he volunteered for his last little time there. But, I mean, we're talking a year and a half, maybe tops, before he died. But, because he wasn't in good health toward the end.
No,
after the first prediction didn't work out, he has a stroke.
Yeah.
3 months later, you know, God
bless Little him. Did he know.
Yeah, right.
It was about to be a wrap.
Which is partly why I think he thought it was a real thing. It's like, it didn't work out. Well, what am I going to do? You know, you're stressing, you're stroking. Because he was 90 years old.
He was.
Like, actually 90 years old.
He was he's the best dressed cockroach I've ever seen in my entire life.
Man, I'm telling you. Those sharp 80s suits he was wearing.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Shark skin, baby. Shark skin.
But he blamed a math error. Have you caught that?
I did not say what?
Well, he didn't. He said we were wrong, you know, and he didn't get too much into it. His followers come around. It was math. The math was wrong. We got to
Did
try
we
it again.
Say 2011?
Yeah.
We really meant to say.
May, we meant.
2024.
But these guys that keep missing it. Over and over and over again, like, why are we still listening to these people?
Have you ever watched a documentary or any kind of, like, show on Nostradamus?
Man, I'm fascinated by Nostradamus.
Me too.
Super, like...
He's been right a lot.
He's
been wrong a whole lot,
wrong a lot, but he's been right enough to be scary.
Yeah.
And the stuff, you know, like, that he said was scary, and you're like, man, when's he going
to
be right again?
I'll be curious to know where Nostradamus actually, where all his travels were and where he went to and the things that he done.
Like, that's a good question.
Could he possibly had been a part of that whole group that, you know,
Bilderberg or what are we looking for?
We're looking at we're looking at the aliens, son.
Oh yeah.
Are we looking at the aqueducts? Are we going to the pyramids? What's happening? How does he know all this stuff? It's almost like Anne Rice knows too much about vampires.
Right.
She really does.
Yeah, maybe she actually was one secretly. Yeah, I'm right. With you.
It's crazy. So,
yeah.
Who else you got on the docket over there? I know you've got a couple.
I did. Well, we talked about Harold Camping, and you know, once he got into the game and was heavy into making these predictions and things, he was well into his 80s, and then he lived, you know, into his early 90s. But he had a protege who kind of picked up. We talked about him retiring. He picked up where he left off.
Well, it's a lucrative business predicting the end of the world.
Well, the guy was only part-time, too,
part-time doomsdayer.
With the radio station until Harold stepped away. This dude's name was Chris McCann. He predicted the end of the world on October 7th, 2015. You might remember the Blood Moon.
Okay, yeah.
So there's scripture. I should know where it's at. It talks about the moon turning to blood and the stars falling out of the sky and the sun going dark and all these different things. And I talked about this in a sermon a couple of weeks ago. That stuff, that language is throughout scripture, right? 100 million times. And it's got to do every single time. It's got to do with a kingdom, like a physical kingdom on earth falling. And it's figurative language that you use at that point. Cause how do you describe something that nobody can imagine except for, you know, figurative language. So that's what that was. And these people take that. The moon just turns red periodically. We have a harvest moon, and we do all that. Everybody, it's the blood moon, and we got to go. You know, it's got to be the end of the world this time. Yeah. So he picked up where his, you know, buddy left off and predicted it again. Of course, he was, I don't know if maybe you guys are keeping up with current events. He was wrong also.
I think I have that button here somewhere. Still here. I know Prince sang about the cherry moon, but I don't think there's anything to do with the
Probably
world
not
coming
the
to
same
an
thing.
End.
No. Yeah.
Not at all. Not at all.
So he kind of picked up where Harold Camping left off, and there's a lot of money in it. I mean, as we saw.
There's a lot of money in predicting the end of the world. I mean, you've got, and we could have tied in the whole doomsday prepper thing with this.
We could.
If you've got a whole group of people that you can convince that the world's coming to an end, I mean, they need supplies. They need munitions. They need things.
We can
call these companies. out there that are making all these, you know, doomsday prepper things. I'm not saying that these guys are wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying it's not okay to be prepared. Do I think the world's coming into it, like coming to an end? No. Do I think times are going to get seriously hard for a lot of people?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Nothing wrong with being prepared.
Right.
I wouldn't go buy Jim Baker soup out of a 5-gallon bucket.
I would. I might spring for like a Patriot supply.
I'd try to go catch a fish.
Yeah.
Before I would eat that soup. Not I would eat a shoe.
There's probably some of that Jim Baker soup still around. We should see if we can find some.
Oh, my God. And then
is it in your Amazon store?
We should try. Yeah. Hit the Amazon link and type up, what is it, COVID water? Or get you some Jim Jones, or not Jim Jones,
Don't Kool-Aid. Get the Jim Jones Kool-Aid.
They're sold out.
That's it's been recalled, I think.
Or get you some Jim Baker
potato soup. Those people were all like waiting, or were they waiting on the mothership or something to come? Was that the mothership?
Well, no. That was the, I forgot what cult that was. The guys that wore the black jumpsuits with the purple Nikes, and purple Nikes.
That was the same thing, though. They were waiting on the end of the world.
Jim Jones, that's what they were doing. He was predicting the end of the world, doomsday, and you were going to drink the Kool-Aid, or they were going to inject you in your neck.
Yeah.
And if you didn't want to do that, somebody was going to put a bullet in your head.
Yeah, no thanks. I'm out on that 100%.
So, but that's just the thing. That's the power. We talk about the power of manipulating the mind.
Yeah.
Master manipulators. And that's what this guy was, too. And then what his protege was as well. Master manipulators. If they could have took the way that they can affect people in the way that they speak to people and use it for a good purpose.
Right.
Man.
Imagine what it could be. These are always like charismatic guys, right? And I don't, I get up in front of a room full of people and talk every Sunday, but I'm not like one of these. I don't run around and I don't holler and I don't do all those things, but that's the kind
problem.
Of guy.
I know, right? You got to get some flags.
I'd be rich and we'd have a giant church and all this fun stuff, but it's, they sell people though.
They do. It is. Yeah. It turns into, it's marketing 101 religious marketing. That's what we need to dig into.
You're getting into marketing, man. I am. Come up with a class on that.
For sure.
Masterclass at Roman.
Masterclass.
Welcome to my TED Talk.
Yeah. But just make sure you guys, we purposely chose to use red Kool-Aid.
Right. Yeah.
We're not using the purple stuff. So
no purple Kool-Aid.
But yeah. As far as like, The other situation that you're looking at too, where do these fanatics that preach this end of the world, rapture, doomsday type message, and they're wrong, but you still, what shocks me and blows me away is they have such a large group of people that still stick around.
Well, that's what this guy was wrong 3 times. How many times do you have to be wrong before your people?
I mean, third time's a charm is what I heard. Or I 3 strikes and you're out.
Right, yeah, that's for me.
You're either going to get there or you're going to,
I don't know. The Bible says, like we just got done with Matthew 24 at our church. We've been in there for like 3 weeks. Jesus says 4 times. Nobody knows. Like, okay. So not even Jesus knows. Like God the Father knows. Jesus doesn't. The angels don't. Nobody does. But you know what? I'm going to let Harold in on it, and he's going to tell y'all.
Yeah, we're going to let this cockroach with a shark skin suit. I'm going to tell him what we're going
to
do.
I'll let him. He's going to pass it on to you, but it's all based on just stuff out of context and dumb ideas and misunderstanding of Scripture.
And I guess it's the same way with people handle snakes. They take a part of Scripture and they manipulate the words.
They take 3 words,
and create a church out of it.
Yeah, so. It's insane. I hope you get bitten by a snake. You deserve it.
It's definitely going to happen.
At some point. Yeah, 100%.
Hey, and believe me, you need to get to the hospital.
Yes.
You got to go.
Fine. We'll just pray for him. You can pray. I'm going to call 911.
Has his head normally been that big?
Oh, man. Bit on the nose by a copperhead.
Yeah. Or was the one guy that got bit by a rattlesnake? On the face.
Yeah, and he's bleeding.
Oh, bleeding out of his head. And he's like, it's okay, I'm fine. And then like 2 seconds later, he's like, take me to the hospital.
Yeah, I'm not fine.
I'm not fine.
God, we're laughing.
He's not speaking in tongues. He's actually dying.
He's having a seizure. He's going out. Oh, man.
So doomsday prophets, big business.
Yeah.
A lot of misinformed, misled folks.
Yeah.
Where do they go, though? Like, where do they go after that? Where do you do? Like, you've kind of, that is kind of your swan song.
Yeah. I don't know how, like I said, I don't know how many times you can be wrong about that and still be around. But I don't know, if maybe it's not their swan song. These guys don't seem to, like, be done until they die. You know, like, we were talking about these guys, and Edgar Wise, and it comes to mind. And he wrote four. Now there were four different major predictions that this was going to be the end. And like, he's still alive. He's still around. And like, people, his net worth is, I want to say $5-6 million. It's not what, it ain't $75 million, but it's. Well,
I wonder what
six.
It is now. I wonder what it is right now after this last scare.
Oh, I don't know. He hadn't, to my knowledge, he hadn't ramped up. 94 was probably his last go around.
Okay.
But he's 90 something years old too, and he's just hanging in there, and I guess he's doing okay because he's worth $6-7 million.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of scratch in the bank.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where these guys go. It's not like the end of a pastor seems to come when they get busted with a prostitute.
Yep.
Or some cocaine or something. Mm-hmm. And then not even always.
Because they always stealing from the church.
Yeah, there's always something going on and their audience is still around. And I don't get it. I guess it's the charisma that we talked about that draws people in, suckers people. And P.T. Barnum was right about a lot of things. And these guys just apply that principle to the church.
Yeah.
You know, suckers born every minute. Well, like, okay, if I can find a sucker and convince him that I can help him with his eternal destiny, I can get him to give me money so we can advertise the end of the world. You know? Okay, cool.
But it's been going on since the end of time. I mean, like there's specific churches, and I'm not calling out any denomination, but
I'll do it. Go ahead.
What is that church that constantly tells people the world is coming to an end? Like the world, I mean, we all know the world's coming to an end at some point.
Yeah.
We're not calling out, you know, time, week, and day.
Right. But you've got like Jehovah's Witnesses. Their whole thing is the watchtower.
Yeah.
You know, we're watching. And we should always be ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible talks about that. Don't be asleep when the time comes. Like, right. Be ready. But these cats are like, there's a watchtower. It's like an actual watchtower.
Not a Jimi Hendrix song.
No, not all along thee, but up in thee. Yeah, but that's their thing. They got a magazine that comes out. It's called The Watchtower, and their thing is looking out for the return of Christ.
Yeah.
The Mormons are big into, like, the apocalypse.
They are.
They're probably responsible for what we know as the Prepper Movement.
Yeah. I mean, we did a whole episode on Warren Jeffs, and that was they did a whole – I mean, there was a day that the world was supposed to end, and he had them all drive out in the middle – of whatever, like, desert-like surrounding that they were in and sat there, and they sat there.
You're going to have a lot of Mormons listening that tell you we're not those Mormons.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but, you know, it is what it is. Warren Jeffs is a whole different level.
He was on another level of something. Yeah,
but if you look, I want to say it's, I forget what the website is, but, like, the top, like, prepping supply company in the world, the website, you scroll all the way down at the bottom, and it's like, we're associated with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Wow.
So, like, that's their thing. That's what they do. And, you know, God bless them. Now, be ready.
Is that where you get a planet when you die?
Yeah, that's the one where you get a planet.
Your own God on your own planet?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just
I mean, I'm new to all this. I'm just asking questions.
I'll send you the link to that movie. Have I not done that? I got to send you the link.
What about the cartoon?
That's the one.
Yeah. I want to see. Yeah, I definitely want to watch that.
And they made the movie, so it's not like a hit piece.
Sure.
So, yeah.
I never knew black people came from there.
Man.
From that.
No, it's because they didn't.
Still don't think they did, but
no.
Somebody's been, you talk about misinformation.
Man, like, imagine being a black guy.
what do you mean I don't believe in God?
Yeah, I'm sitting here telling you I do.
I truly believe in God.
Yeah, right here, in front of God and everybody, I'm telling you I do.
Man, we tried not to be controversial on this episode.
You know.
And some people's going to take it the way they are, and some people aren't.
Yeah, it was just going to be that way, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's, nobody likes the truth. Yeah. Nobody likes...
The truth is hard. Wrong. It's tough, man.
Yeah.
The truth.
What is the truth?
The truth.
It's in that book.
That's it. It's all in there.
It's in that one book.
And even if we don't like it,
sure,
that's where it is.
That's the way it's all going to shake out in the long run.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to come tell you what day it is.
No.
You don't need to give me all your money to make sure you get there.
Please don't. But if you're going to, make your checks out to Rome Reformed Church. If you're dumb enough to just hand it
if you need some prepping gear,
yeah, man,
hit up our Amazon page.
But at this
point, you can get anything you need.
You know, we looked at Harold Camping, who made three predictions. We looked at Chris McCann, who made another one. I've got Edgar Wisenant on the list, who made at least four more. So we're up to eight different times now where people have predicted the end of the world and were wrong.
Yeah.
So like, and that's just the ones we're talking about. We could have found 1,000 of these. So like, let's stop trusting these people.
Yeah.
Like, as a whole.
At some point, you got to pull the plug on that nonsense.
Yeah.
You got to seriously, I mean, none of it makes sense to me. Like not one bit of it. Now, I don't think there's one human being in this world that is going to be directly contacted and told this very important information.
If they didn't tell Jesus, you know, they ain't telling Danny and Rob.
No. You know,
like they're not. They don't let us know.
No.
It's just going to happen.
It's yeah. Yeah.
And there's nothing we can do to like make it faster or less of what it's going to be or, you know, whatever. Like we just
hope you're minding your P's and Q's.
We're going to be passengers on that ride.
Yeah.
You know, that's all.
God, I hope so.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
had a rough week.
Yeah, it's not how it works, Rob.
I might need a few extra minutes.
I'll put in an extra
underneath the baptismal pool.
Yeah, yeah.
In the water, not underneath the pool.
I'll put you a good word in for a nominal fee and donation to my church. Just buy one of these buckets.
Why does Rob keep sending us Kool-Aid?
Oh, man. We'll take it. Bring it on. It's wine that we use. It's not the Kool-Aid. That's the Kool-Aid churches down the street. But yes. It's, you know, so if you want to send us over a bottle of Robert's Red, we'll take it.
We can do that. We might make that happen. So, yeah. one other thing that I was going to kind of talk, it's kind of like this a little loosely off this topic as well.
Bring it.
Was when you, as a pastor, you know this is happening in your community. How do you sit on your hands with it? Like I know that I think you and I probably have the same feeling. Yours are probably a lot stronger than mine because you're a little deeper in the word than I am. But when you know there's like straight up nonsense being spewed on a weekend.
Yeah.
And not saying that God's appointed you as the know all, see all, speak all.
Yeah, but he kind of did.
But he did. But how does that affect you, one, and two, what do you do about it?
You know,
like, what can you do about it?
I don't know. You can try to do a lot of things. What I did and the way that it worked out this time, and this is, you know, God, this is not some weird cosmic coincidence. We start in my church when we go, we start in chapter 1, verse 1 of a book, and we go all the way through. And this Sunday, we were in Matthew 24, where it's talking about the coming of Christ, right? And
it just lined up that way.
It did line up that way. It was beautiful. So I got to address this directly with my people. Now, what happens to a pastor is we go in the ice cream store and the guy behind the counter goes, hey, what do you think about X, Y, and Z? Or one of my buddies who like might or might not even go to church texts me and is like, hey, what's this thing going on? And so that's kind of like the reach that I get. It was beautiful timing for the church, right? I got to stand in front of the church and go, well, the Bible says this, so what these other guys are saying can't be true. Like, okay, cool. So then I get to share that outside of the walls of the church as well. People also text me to ask me if they should buy a minivan. So there's that. The things that your pastor's up against. But yeah, that's kind of what I do. And I can't, my megaphone, even with the podcast and social media and all that, my megaphone is not big enough. I'm not in 30 languages.
Sure.
In 150 countries. Like I'm not. And that's just how it is. But I kind of take it as I take everything else is the opportunity that I get in front of my church is one thing. And then one-on-one relational opportunities, I take those whenever I can get them.
Gotcha.
Same kind of thing. Let's see. It's April now. In June, we have a big Pride Month in town and everybody's like, your church is on Broad Street. What are you going to do? And I'm like, well, I'm going to, you know, talk to these folks as best I can.
Sure.
But to like, lay down in the road in front of their parade is probably counterproductive. So there's a different, you know, the same approach.
You probably will get ran over.
Right, yeah. I want to start a fight. Like, I could go out and find these groups of people, whether it's the Pride people or the Doomsday people, and be like, hey, you're all wrong and you're going to hell. And, like, let me beat you over the head with my Bible.
What is a Westboro Baptist church?
Right, yeah. So then we think about that guy, and he's a moron. God rest his soul, hopefully. But, it's not, I'm not going to make a difference shouting at groups of people, you know, so I try to take those one-on-one opportunities and do things that way. And I'm not going to reach everybody anyway, but if I can reach one, it was worth it.
Sure.
You know,
so I like that. Yeah, I like it.
That's kind of my approach I take to those things.
Have you ever had an incident where you straight up knew what you were listening to was garbage,
mm-hmm.
and you responded to it, like, can you, how did you respond to it?
I have to.
Yeah.
But it's, there's a way to go about it.
That's kind of what
and
I'm getting at.
I feel like God gave me this gift, and like, I'm not some fantastic speaker, but I'm really good at disarming angry people, you know, like kind of talking things back down, you know, and having the conversation, like rebuilding things kind of from the ground up. Like, let's, you're obviously upset right now because I'm telling you things you don't want to hear and we're contradicting each other, but let's back up and pump the brakes a little bit. And then we just get to talk about things from the ground up. Well, you said this, and here's what I believe about this, and here's how it applies to our lives and things like that. So again, it's that one-on-one relational thing. Doesn't always work out. Some people are just angry and they want to be angry.
They're not happy.
Yeah.
Unless they're causing chaos.
Right. Yeah.
Or fighting about something.
And I'm not going to fight with somebody about it.
You can't win with people like that.
Right. Somebody who's already decided they're going to be angry and this is, you can't change my mind. And like, whatever. Okay. Well, that's cool.
Maybe you're right.
But let's not waste each other's time.
Sure.
You know, sounds, but I give those folks a hug and, you know,
move on about your day. Way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that's one of the things I have a tough time with things that I don't agree with. I don't really know if I want to share that topic. There's just certain people, a group of people that I don't feel like there's any forgiveness for.
Yeah.
And I know the Bible doesn't say that.
Yep.
So that's
one of those times.
That's what I struggle. Yeah. That's what I struggle with. Yeah. You know, is like, well, you have to forgive. You know, Jesus said, like, I'm also know Jesus said this too.
Yeah.
I also know Jesus flipped some tables over a time or two.
It happened.
But
the way I look at forgiveness is like, I have to. I've got to forgive you no matter what. There's no except for in the Bible at all. You know, like, you just have to. It's easier for me to forgive you if I don't have to look at you anymore. You know what I mean? So I don't have to keep subjecting myself to abuse.
Okay.
You know, and even Jesus told the disciples at one point, you go into these towns and you take the message with you. And if you're not received, shake the dust off your sandals and get out of there.
Gotcha.
Okay, cool. So give it a shot.
Yeah. Right?
Give it a try. If it doesn't work out, then the outcome's not up to us anyway.
Right.
So, you know, it's only up to us to go and do. And if it works, that's great. And if not, you know, shake the dust off your sandals and get out of there.
You gave it an A for effort.
That's it.
So, yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
This was important for me to talk to you about. One of these things that I just, you know, like I said, I've got a million questions about so many things. And now me, you know, being, I'm a year in, new still to all this. So I have, like I said, I got a ton of questions. So I appreciate you getting in here and let's hatch some of them out.
Yeah.
So, I know we're getting super excited. We are going to do a podcast pretty soon on our Roman Emperor Penguins. The minor league Pans. Baseball team.
Yeah.
I think they're undefeated right now.
They're
is that right?
Have they played? They were 3-0. They opened their season with a series against Hickory and they won all three.
Yeah. They haven't lost yet then.
Yeah. I don't think they played against them.
So there was a lot of people talking about, was the crowds going to be come back? Were we going to lose people? From what I seen, the
crowd was back.
The crowd's back.
Yeah.
The crowd's back and it's exciting.
Yeah. So. We were there opening night, Burnham Project. Went and took a bunch of video and a million pictures. And
we're
working on a series called Summer at the Ballpark.
Yeah. Cool. I can't wait.
It's so much fun, man.
Yeah.
We're just going to highlight.
That's a dream job.
It's super cool. We're just going to talk about the things that happen at the ballpark.
Yeah.
And we talked to the first opening day, the focus is on the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you think about the new mascot? You know, we've had a minor league baseball team here for 22 years.
Yeah.
And they've been the Braves the entire time when they changed this offseason to the Emperors. And it was not well received at first. It wasn't well received when people knew there was going to be a change. When they found out what it was, people started eating it up because it's awesome.
It is cool. I mean, it's such a good play on words.
But that was the conversation that we had with so many people. What do you think? And how do you like it? And is it better than you thought? You know, and yeah, we like it. It's cool. And the hot dogs are good. You know,
sure. Whatever.
But we're going to talk to, like, the popcorn lady. Or the guy running the inflatables out in right field and just different aspects.
Are you going to be able to talk to some of the coaching staff? And
we're going to try to stay away from those guys because they're at work.
I got you.
Maybe we catch them on an off day here and there and, you know, talk to some of the, like we talked to David Lane, the general manager. We happened to bump into him at one point. That wasn't the plan. And it was after the game anyway. But we're going to try not to bother professional athletes too much while they're doing professional athlete stuff.
Yeah.
But if they'll let us, we will.
That'll be cool, man. I think that's an awesome project y'all got that y'all working on, and I look forward to seeing what happens with that too.
That's gonna be fun. Yeah. We gotta get you involved with it.
I'll do it, man. I'm all about it.
We'll plug you in.
Everybody knows that my first love is baseball.
Yeah, you got a Braves hat on right now.
Yeah. All right, man. You have a good rest of your week, and
yes, sir.
You guys make sure you follow us on Rumble. We appreciate any feedback. So if you got any questions, comments, concerns, or if you just want to say hey, shoot us a message on Rumble, or you can shoot us a message on CS Idiots 01 podcast on Instagram, I believe.
Instagram.
That's our IG account. So, where you can also get on our Amazon storefront and buy all your stuff so I can quit my real job. So, Danny, it's been a good one, man. I appreciate you.
I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right, later. See you next time.
See you, man.